lay out the format and submit them, some things for the record. First off, this oversight hearing was called and scheduled by the chair. I was not asked. Neither was I poked or prodded to have this hearing. This I felt was a transportation issue of concern to the committee members, keeping us abreast of what's happening. Obviously, transportation of oil is of our state's most important resource, and it does fall under the purview of the Transportation Committee. So regardless of published articles, I will assure this committee that it was my idea and my idea only to have this hearing, and I had several discussions with Representative Harris before I did schedule it. So with that, we have several people online as well as in the committee room to take testimony. And before we get started, I just simply wanted to frame the discussion. We are not going to be debating whether or not local communities have the right to tax, and if they do, what they should tax. Clearly, the state's constitution provides that local communities do have the ability to tax. What I'd like to talk about today is the impact on the industry, the impact on, as it pertains to the delivery of the new Millennium class tankers, and possibly other alternatives out there, and exactly how the community is going to assess this tax. So keeping that in mind, if we could frame the discussion around those points, I would like to start. We have one gentleman online that has a time constraint. I'm going to take testimony from him, and then I'm going to ask City of Valdez, who's present, including Mayor Cobb, to give their testimony. Then we'll hear from the industry. First, I would like to go to Anchorage, to a very familiar name to us all, former Representative Mark Hanley. Mark, welcome to the committee, and if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mark Hanley, and I'm the chair of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association State Legislative Committee. AOGA is an industry trade association whose 17 members represent the great majority of the petroleum industry in Alaska. Today I'm presenting AOGA's comments on the City of Valdez tanker tax. All 17 members unanimously agree on this position. Companies such as Shell, Anadarko, ExxonMobil, ARCO, BP, Amoco, and Chevron. AOGA has several significant concerns about the municipal property tax, which the City of Valdez recently imposed on oil tankers that carry North Slope crude oil from Valdez to destinations outside the state, which I would like to present to the committee. First, the Alaska Constitution identifies all state resources, including the petroleum resources of the North Slope, as assets of the people of Alaska as a whole, not just any particular municipality. With the imposition of this tanker tax, Valdez has unilaterally raised the cost of moving the North Slope resources to market. These increased costs have raised the bar, which ongoing and new investments for North Slope development will have to clear in order to be competitive. This additional cost will affect current as well as new development, including proposed development of NPRA and hopefully someday ANWR. We believe it's in the best long-term interest of no one in Alaska, including Valdez, to impair or prevent the full economic development of the North Slope's potential. Second, the tax raises a serious public policy question about who sets the terms and policy for oil and gas development in Alaska. The legislature and the state of Alaska, on behalf of all of the citizens of the state, or the various municipalities acting on their own. In this particular instance, one municipality has initiated action for its own benefit, which impacts the broader concerns of all the state's citizenry. These matters should remain with the state. AOGA's third concern is that the tanker tax sends a threatening signal about the stability of Alaska's tax climate to potential new players in Alaska's petroleum industry precisely at the time when they are facing key decisions about whether or not to become major investors in Alaska. This signal is just as negative for potential investors in gas development as it is for possible purchasers of oil-related assets. Because it raises doubt about what additional taxes Valdez might try to impose on a gas commercialization project, if such elements of such projects are built and located within the city's boundaries. AOGA's fourth concern is the penalizing effect the tax has on shipping companies and their recent and future investment decisions regarding their fleet. Any additional investments in the current fleet, like the new ARCO Millennium tankers, translate directly into greater marine transportation costs because of the property tax imposed by the City of Valdez. Any future investment decisions for the fleet will factor in the additional economic burden and the risk of greater municipal taxes. For these reasons, AOGA strongly opposes the City of Valdez's property tax on oil tankers, and we urge the legislature to consider legislation to include vessels as exempt properties that are listed under AS 4355017, and retain oil and gas tax policy at the state level. Thank you very much for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mark. Representative Cowdery.
Yes, Mark. Hi. As I understand, the whole tax scheme and revenue source from our oil, if this tax would pass, this percentage or this cost would pass on to the state, or pass through to be transportation costs, which would result in less money and less revenue for the state of Alaska. Is that a fair statement?
I think, Representative Cowdery, you'd have to address that to the Department of Revenue. There are some, my understanding, some complicated issues involved with how much the state would or wouldn't receive, and I couldn't speak to that. In fact, because I'm representing AOGA this afternoon, I have to stick very closely to the testimony. This was approved by all 17 companies, and it's very difficult for me to get very far off. But I think that's a better question for the Department of Revenue.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on that point.
Representative Hudson.
I believe Representative Cowdery is highlighting an issue that has to be considered in here. I believe the wellhead value is predicated upon the cost of certainly the pipeline, the tank farm, the docks, I believe the transport systems, and since I think it's about 2 bits on the dollar, you know, we have to be very careful about any added costs that are reducible from the, or deducted from the value of the oil, because I think it does have an effect on the revenue that the state receives, or the percentage of revenue that we receive. And I'm not sure, but again, I think that's a good question, as Mark says, for revenue to respond to as well.
Let me ask, did you have a follow-up question?
Please? Yeah, just as a comment, I intend to ask the industry people, but having talked with the Alyeska people and talking in the past about the, for instance, the new double-hull tankers, they're more expensive, and it's a requirement that we said they had to do, but that is in essence, going to reduce the money that gets the state for the thing is exactly, as you said, I don't know if I'm explaining it very well, but I do know that all expenses are deducted.
I think it's 25 cents on the dollar.
Let me. We have Dan Dickinson from the Department of Revenue online. Let me let him jump in. Dan, are you online and can you hear us?
I am. Mr. Chairman, Representative Cowdery, Representative Hudson, I think there are a quick way of answering that question. You are precisely right in that the tax would be deductible. It would cause a lower severance tax rate and a lower royalty, and that really would be about 25 cents on the dollar, and so the state would get less money. However, it's important to offset that with what would happen to property tax. Currently, there are facilities in Valdez, the oil and gas facilities in Valdez. The state has a 20 mil property tax on those, which is offset by a credit for any taxes paid locally. Valdez also has a 20 mil tax. Therefore, the state receives no property taxes, no special oil and gas property taxes on the Alyeska terminal or any of the facilities in Valdez. If under this legislation, under this ordinance, the City of Valdez were to lower its mil rate from something in the 20 range down to something in the 11 or 12 range, the state, in fact, would begin to receive oil and gas property taxes on the last mile of the pipeline and the Valdez terminal. So the net effect over the next couple of years is the state will have a small increase in total revenue. So it's a decrease in severance tax, a decrease in royalty, and an increase in property tax. And does that answer your question, Mr. Chairman?
No,
it does. Thank you, Dan.
Yep.
Any other questions for... Seeing none. Thank you for your testimony, Mark.
Thank you for accommodating me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Next, we're going to go to Valdez and hear from Mayor Dave Cobb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, for the opportunity to discuss our personal property tax on vessels over 95 feet. That is the correct terminology of the ordinance. It not only encompasses tanker vessels, but it also encompasses tugs and other vessels such as towboats that are over 95 feet and don't fully utilize the facilities in Valdez. So it's not, while it does encompass all the tankers, it also encompasses other vessels as well. It's hard, Mr. Chairman, to differentiate this from a 4356 oil and gas issue or a Title 29 issue. We feel very strongly here in Valdez that this is a right under Title 29 to tax a personal property tax. I'll give you a little bit of a history as to what's precipitated this. The city of Valdez, since 1990, has experienced annually approximately a 7% decline in our oil and gas tax properties due to the decline in the value of the pipeline, the terminal, and everything else associated with the oil and gas industry. We have met with the industry and tried to work out a lesser decline to no avail. We have taken it upon ourselves to reduce our city operating budget by 24%, over 24% in the last 4 years. We reduced our number of employees, city employees, by 16% in the same period of time. We reached a point in time where, in order to cover the continued decline in the value of the pipeline and its associated buildings and stuff, we would have to put in place two Petrostar refineries for every year for the next 10 years just to make up for a annual decline. We've reached a point in time, Mr. Chairman and committee members, where we don't have a lot of choices before us. This tax on vessels, we fully believe, is a Title 29 issue, the right to tax under our authority given to us by the legislature in the state of Alaska. We have this on the books once before, I believe in 1997. At that time, the industry raised the same issues and questions that they're raising right now. The governor came to Valdez, sat down with the city council, myself, and asked us to pull it off the table and to sit down with the industry to discuss ways to look at not only a short-term solution, but a long-term solution. We did that. In fairness to the industry, the industry did sit down with us and do that. We ended up with a short-term two-year solution involving a 4% decline in last year and a 6% decline this year. However, we did not reach any type of consensus or conclusion on a long-term solution to Valdez's dilemma. Valdez, when the state sat down with the oil industry and put all these guidelines in place and talked about the devaluation and the decline of the pipeline and its associated properties, the city of Valdez nor any other community in the state of Alaska was allowed to sit at that table and express our concerns. Therefore, at this point in time, we're suffering those consequences. We certainly support the industry. There's no community in the state of Alaska who supports the oil industry more than Valdez does. But there's also a point in time where we have to continue to provide the same services that our citizens demand, of which many of those citizens work for the oil and gas industry. This, we feel, is an opportunity to do just that. I believe Mr. Bill Walker, our city attorney, and Mr. Dave Dingell, our city manager, are there to help me answer any questions that the committee may have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mayor Todd. Representative Cowdery.
Yes, I agree that under Title 29 you have the right to tax, but your statement about the something that I forget how it was in a percentage wise of that you was down or something, I'd like to remind everybody too that the production of the pipeline is down over 50%, maybe 56 or 58% to what it was. And to use for me to use a mentality that when it gets down to 80%, we're going to raise the taxes to make up the difference, this doesn't seem to be a prudent thing to do. I mean, we're all going to have to take a hit. And the fact that any expenses, in my mind, that's created by the sale of our oil, the transportation of oil, it comes right back out of the people's pocket through the cost of transportation, which established wellhead price, which oil is somewhat like gold. It's the same price all over the world based on the purity or the specific gravity of it. Whoever owns the oil pays all transportation costs to the point of sale. So if these Indonesian oil would cost the same in Alaska as Alaska oil would because of that factor. So anyway, I'm just totally against, I'm not convinced that this is the thing, a prudent thing to do, because oil production may go down even lower, and with the mentality, we're going to raise the taxes every time the oil production or goes down. I just don't buy into that. That's just a comment.
Representative Kemplin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor Cobb, you talked about the devaluation of the pipeline and that there was no floor established on the that devaluation. How are negotiations proceeding with the owners of the pipeline in terms of establishing an acceptable floor valuation for their facilities?
That's an issue through the chair to Representative Kemplin. Representative Kemplin, that's an issue that we have discussed numerous times with the industry. That is not an issue that the industry desires to discuss a floor. What you're basically talking about is a residual value of a pipeline. As we've expanded at the North Slope, our search for oil and our increased flows down the pipeline, we've maintained increased the life of that pipeline and the flow of oil from the North Slope. Many pipelines around the nation and in foreign countries do have a residual value where it does not drop below that. We have had discussions with the industry that is not something that the industry is interested in discussing. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Mayor Cobb, if there was a this residual value or this floor, could there, if there were successful negotiations on this item, did you feel that there'd be an adequate revenues to support basic services in Valdez to the point where this vessel tax would no longer be necessary?
Potentially, yes. I think that it's certainly something that we were more than willing to look at and discuss. All we've asked for over the years is stability. There isn't a community in the state of Alaska faced with the same situation that we have, nor is there many communities, I believe, are around the lower 48. All we're asking for is tax stability so that we can continue to provide services to our community, which our citizens request, and maintain a lifestyle that we're all certainly accustomed to. This tax, we believe, is no different than personal property tax on jet major jet airlines landing in the city of Anchorage. What is to stop the major company from coming into some community and not liking the tax structure, building a large facility in that community, and then going before the legislature or the local body and trying to get the taxes relieved? While I understand Representative Cowdery's questions, at the same time we've seen a reduction of 7% a year with the oil and gas properties. We've also seen a 47% increase in the non-oil and gas property taxes paid by the other local citizens. So you have to look at things equitably for both sides of the coin.
On that point, Mayor Cobb, this is Chairman Halker, on the point of equity, what percentage of your tax base comes from the oil and gas industry in Valdez?
It's approximately right now about 73%.
Thank you. The chair will also notice the presence of Representative Harris. John, would you like to join us at the table? There's an open seat here. Representative Kukesh.
I just wanted to make a comment. It's interesting to me, as a member of this legislature, that I've watched cuts to revenue sharing and municipal aid to communities in Alaska. And when we have a community like Valdez that steps up and tries to exercise its Title 29 prerogatives, including taxation, that we object to it and that we tell them, can't you survive on municipal aid and revenue sharing that we still continue to give you, which is nothing hardly. I think that if they're a community and they have the power to tax, then I think they ought to exercise that right. And I for one, would not like to sit here and say except for, and I think that's what we're doing today. The state of Alaska is going to take care of you with revenue share and municipal aid, but leave those industries alone that we have a kindness in our heart for. And that's very unfair, and equity comes in here and has to be in place someplace. Title 29 gives those communities some rights, and I think we ought to recognize those rights and recognize that those communities are only trying to do what they have to do to survive.
Appreciate your comments, and as I said before we started the hearing, this is not a debate on the ability for Valdez.
Right,
to
and
tax.
I realized that, except I noticed it was going as a debate toward one side, and I thought I may make my comment.
Thank you, Representative Kukesh. Representative Hudson.
Thank you. Actually, there are any number of comparable floating real estates that are out here in the Alaskan waters. If you think about it, we've got tankers over in Cook Inlet, so there's no reason why Kenai couldn't essentially perform the same operation there. Certainly Whittier with the, I think the railroad, maybe they don't still go in there, I don't know, but they used to at any rate. And Anchorage, where you have sea land and totem ships and things of this nature. And throughout southeast Alaska, where we have cruise ships, large cruise ships, that are, it's all kind of the same thing. And in a way, it just seems kind of strange that we are targeting, you know, just these vessels, although it's being targeted through a local government, which I'm not adverse to a local government doing everything they can to try to generate some funds on the whole thing. I just want to make sure that it isn't at the expense of the severance and royalties. That was my concern. And it sounds like at least revenue says that it the state may actually make up for it on the property tax, the mills property tax that we have in Valdez. So, but that's my concern, is that, you know, this really does potentially open the door for an awful lot of independent action throughout Alaska, and particularly in southeast.
Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving me an opportunity to speak here today. Obviously, this affects my district more than anybody else's, but it could affect others in the future. But the I think it's important that the history of this be laid out, and maybe some of the other people from Valdez will lay that out in their future testimony. But as has been said, the pipeline, in an agreement that the city of Valdez, city of Fairbanks, and the North Slope Borough had absolutely no input into, was assessed and valued by the state in conjunction with the industry over the years. And the communities have had nothing to say about that evaluation at all, up until maybe the last 5 years, when they were at least able to sit at the table, so to speak. And they still didn't have any input, but at least they got to listen a little bit about the debate. The communities, which I happen to be the mayor of Valdez for 5 years, were always concerned about their ability to raise money to operate on. And as Mayor Cobb stated, the city of Valdez has lowered its expenditures considerably over the last few years. And if something isn't done to stop the decline in the value of the pipeline and the terminal in the city limits, the city will have to continue to lower its costs. I mean, and obviously the state understands that very well. But there comes a point in time when the city is offering services and provides services for that facility and the people that use it and live there. And most facilities, if you look at the Kenai Peninsula, for instance, which offers services for the refineries and the gas plants and that are there, those values stay the same year after year after year, and they're assessed by the borough, the Kenai Peninsula Borough. City of Valdez doesn't have that opportunity. It's really at the whim of the state and the industry who sets the assessment. The city has the ability to tax at 20 mils maximum, as was stated. Anything that the city taxes less than 20 mils goes back to the state, as does all the property in the unorganized boroughs of the state that the pipeline sits in. So the state does receive revenue from that. I think, and I'll try not to belabor this point too much, but one point I'd like to make is that, and my good friend Representative Jewell's not here, so I'll speak about his district a little bit. The North Slope Borough was faced with a similar situation a few years back, and they had the opportunity to put on a personal property tax on various different pieces of equipment and things that were on the North Slope that weren't part of the 4356 pipeline properties. And the industry came to the table when they knew that they didn't have a whole lot of options, and they worked out a payment in lieu of taxes with the North Slope Borough. I think, in all honesty, the city of Valdez would probably more than, I won't speak for them, but at one time I did, would love to see an agreement with the industry where they didn't have to do this tax. But I think they believe that they're put in a position where they don't have much choice. Without a floor on the assessment of the pipeline, that pipeline value can actually go, in terminal value, can go to zero under the present scenario. And I don't think any of us would sit here and say that that's fair, even if there's only 500 million barrels a day, or 500,000 barrels a day going through the pipeline. Well, you know, there's roughly a million barrels a day going through there now. But even if it went down to 500,000 barrels a day, and even less, nobody would say it was worth nothing in an ad valorem tax scheme. And that, quite frankly, is the situation that we're sitting here faced at this point. So, the city of Valdez sees that, and they see no end to the decline, and they say, well, how do we address that? And this is a situation that they've come up with that they feel that, you know, they don't have any options. So, you know, there's a fairness issue, and I've seen it from both sides. I understand the problems of both sides, but I think it's important that you all know, and that all members of the legislature understand, that the city has put in a predicament of no win, and they're trying to develop a system that they can at least stop the decline. And it won't There's another situation I think we're all aware of, and in community regional affairs we're going to discuss this here shortly, and that's the possibility of the 10 mil tax limit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if that goes through, the maximum obviously that the city of Valdez could charge anything for personal property tax would also be 10 mils, and it would also mean that their property values would decline by 50%. Are they not their property values, but their assessment ability by 50% from the present 20 mils down to 10 mils. And the state, having an agreement with the industry already, would still be able to charge the full 20 mils, but the city of Valdez wouldn't. And so the state would automatically get the other 10 mils of tax that the city would lose. So I think all the way around, the city would end up being a loser without some sort of other mechanism. And, you know, in a perfect world, I'd like to see where the industry and the city could get together and work out an agreement that didn't have to have a tax, but we don't live in a perfect world, unfortunately. And in defense of the city, I think they don't have any other way to turn at this point.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Any other questions for Mayor Cobb? Representative Cowdery.
I have a comment more or less from some of the people that sit here, and maybe it's a question to somebody said something about the railroad tax in Valdez. I mean, in Whittier, the railroad pays no tax.
No, railroad ships.
Oh, I see. Anyway, getting back to my original point that, you know, we've all got developed luxuries that have become necessities through our good fortune of having oil here on top of our fish and timber and everything else and tourism. But due to the speaking of this 10% tax cap that might come up, it's my thought, if that passes, which I think it will, that most communities will stop, like Anchorage, from using any collection of tax for education. The education will all come back to the state as required by our Constitution to fund education. So we're going to need more money, and if we don't have more money for revenue sharing for everything else, everybody's going to have to take a hit. So I don't know, just this 10 mil tax thing is kind of an interesting thing, but the way I look at it, most mayors are going to look at the Constitution and say, what can we keep without jeopardizing, and as well as the state's responsibility for education, let them pay it.
Mayor, thank you for your testimony. Seeing no questions, we're going to go to Anchorage and take testimony. Actually, we're going to stay right here in Juneau. Excuse me. We have two gentlemen from Valdez. Did you want to testify? Why don't we first call Dave Dingell up to the table?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hudson.
Could we ask Independently Revenue to give us some sort of an assessment of the impact of the Valdez tanker tax on the severance and royalty issue that does affect the state's bottom line? I just like to they know this business and they should be able to tell us what effect it might have.
And just following up on that too, if the Department of Revenue could give us a sense of this floor for in terms of the value, the residual value of the pipeline, I guess I'd like to have some additional information on that, since that's been brought up as kind of a key point here.
Mr. Dickinson, did you note the two comments by Representative Hudson and Representative Kukesh, or Representative Kemplin, excuse me?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I did. We have prepared a preliminary estimate of the effect in the immediate years. We haven't done a one that goes out several years, but we can certainly pass that to you the immediate year fairly quickly.
That would be great enough.
Thank you. If you can get that to my office, and we can distribute it to committee members, Dan.
We'll do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next, we're going to come here into the committee room in Juneau, Dave Dingle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dave Dingle. I'm the city manager for the city of Valdez. I don't have much more to add to what Mayor Cobb has said other than a couple of things. This year we just got our the tax notice from the state on what the value of oil and gas property is going to be in Valdez for the year 2000. And at a 20 mil rate, that will generate $800,000 less in property taxes from oil and gas in Valdez in 2000. And that happens every year, year in and year out. So it compounds. It's not 800,000. It's if you go look at it from 2 years, it's $1.6 million that we've actually lost. I mean, if you look at 3 years, it's $2.4 million. It compounds, and that's our dilemma that Mayor Cobb was referring to. The purpose of the personal property tax on vessels over 95 feet was, in essence, to expand our tax base to help to offset the tax burden on the non-oil and gas property owners in Valdez, what Representative Harris was referring to. We've established the values of the vessels, and there's six or seven other vessels that are non-tanker vessels that are also fall under the ordinance. There's one cruise vessel, and there's the other five are tugs that transport fuel barges in and out of Valdez, hauling fuel from the Petrostar refinery. And I can explain a little bit on how we established the values for each vessel, particularly on the tankers. We did it two different ways. Tankers were done one way, and the tugs and cruise vessels were done another way, just because of how the economics of them of those vessels work out. And probably what everyone's interested is more on what the tankers were established and those values. And what we did is we contracted with a firm in New York, Shipping Intelligence Inc., and they have a depreciation value model that they have developed based on the resale of tankers throughout the world, and they came up with an accelerated depreciation schedule for the vessels, so that you know, it's not a straight line. It'll accelerate and eventually comes down to residual value, which is roughly about 10% of the original construction cost of a tanker. How it would affect the community is we would, and I think this goes to Representative Hudson's question as well, is that this, when you expand our tax base, we're at 20 mils now, maintaining the present budget, we could go to an 11 or 12 mil tax rate. That frees up somewhere between 8 and 10 mils of property tax on the oil and gas property that would come back to the state. And although there is as Mr. Dickinson indicated, there is a net hit on the wellhead or royalty and severance, the net to the state is about, under this year's scenario, would be about $2.3 million, taking into account that decrease in the wellhead price that they would receive. As the new vessels come online, the tax base it expands because the values go up, and it allows us to reduce the mill levy some more. So looking at what throughput is today, roughly using a million barrels a day as throughput, and looking at what the values are that we've determined, the cost of the industry is going to be somewhere between a penny and a cent and a half per barrel for this tax. And that, you know, again, that all depends on what throughput is. It depends on what the values are. The process that we have done is we treat this property just like we treat real property. We sent out assessment notices on March 1st. The taxpayers have until the early part of April in which to file an appeal. At that time, we'll sit down and discuss with them, with our assessor, what the value should be. If we can't come to some agreement, then the taxpayer can either withdraw their appeal or they can take it to the Board of Equalization, which will meet on May 15th. And at that time, that's when the values on real and personal property would be established. And then we'll set, the council will set its mill levy. I believe by statute it's required to be set by the 14th or 15th of June. But as I said, what we're looking at is, potentially we're looking at being able to reduce our mill levy from 20 to 11 or 12 mills.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Dingell? Dave, let me ask you, there is a couple of things. One, you said that your community loses $800,000 per year in property tax revenue due to depreciation.
That's correct.
Of their assets. So you lose $800,000 this year. How much are you projecting to gain from the tanker tax?
We would, well, enough to offset, to go to a mill levy of 12, so it's roughly, I think it's about almost $6 million, $5.6 million.
So you're losing $800,000, you're going to make it up with $6 million. You had mentioned the other vessels. What is how much of the projected tax revenue is going to come from other vessels?
To be honest with you, it's very little. I mean, there's six other vessels, and their combined value is about $13 million.
So you had six other vessels. So this $5.5 million, is that strictly from oil tankers?
No, that would be from all of them.
From all of them, okay. So what, I'm sorry, let me ask you this again. So what percentage of that $5.5 million do you think comes from oil tankers?
Probably 80 to 90%.
So let's say 85%. Any other questions for Mr. One more. Representative Hudson.
Yes. Explain to me a little bit more how the property tax, the law reads at the present time that 20%, that's your cap, is that correct?
On oil and gas? Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so if you derive another $5 million on this tanker tax, does your property tax go down that much? And the state's potentials for property tax go up?
Right. In the scenario that I just talked about, where we would take in $5.6 million in tax on the personal property, the state would see $4 million on the property tax side. We would take $8.3 million, the state would get roughly $4 million.
So you'd get $5 million new.
Yes.
And the state would end up with about $4 million that now goes to the city.
Correct.
So it looks like you've got, about $1 million difference?
Right, but then the non-oil property, taxes the non-oil properties pay drops by about $1.3
million. I see. Okay.
And that makes up the difference.
Okay. Representative Kemplin.
Yes, I just wanted to explore a little bit about this. This floor concept here, the residual value for the pipeline, that you said Valdez is losing $800,000 a year. How much do they currently receive from their assessment of the pipeline property?
About $12.5 million.
About $12.5 million.
Right.
So, and what would they need? What would this floor look like for? Valdez's perspective to give them the tax stability they need?
Well, it's difficult for me to speak directly to that, being that the city council hasn't authorized me to say exactly. I mean, we have had discussions in the past of what that floor might look like, and we had talked about taking the value of the pipeline at I believe it was either 1990 or 1994, and using that as our revenue stability platform, as the industry likes to refer to it. So we'd pick a year in the past, recent past and use that and just say that would be the value. And then stair-step that down. As production declined, then stair-step it down. You know, and at what increments? I mean, we haven't got into it. We haven't refined that, but say go back to the 1990 or 1994 level, and then when production gets to a certain level. The other thing that you know, that needs to be brought up is that the value of the pipeline has declined at a much greater rate than the value, than the decline in throughput. So if the decline in the value was matching throughput, the value today would be higher than it is. So it's dropped at a much steeper rate than throughput. So what one of our thoughts has always been, well, let's go back to a prior year, and then match that decline up with throughput, and stair step it down in increments.
Dave, let me ask you. So at the end of the day, if everything works out the way it's the ordinance passes and your assessments come in, and you generate this $6 million in tax revenue, is it your recommendation that in lieu of the area in Is it your recommendation that you're going to lower the mill rate then to provide, to offset, obviously to give your local property taxpayers a break?
That's the ultimate goal. I mean, during the initial 2 or 3 years, it would be my recommendation that we maintain it at 20 mills to deal with potential for litigation. I mean, if we collect only 11 mills, and we're taken to court and for some reason we do lose and we have to repay that money, we have to take that from somewhere. So my recommendation would be to the city council is that we stay at 20 mills and bank the difference in escrow or something until we feel sufficient time has passed that there is not going to be any litigation.
Okay.
And then determine what we're going to do with what's in that escrow.
But at the current 20 mil rate, the city keeps every dime, correct?
Every dime of real property on, yes.
Okay. So you enact the tax and you hold mill rate at 20 mils for 2 or 3 years. That means not only does the city get to keep all existing property tax revenues, but you get the benefit of the tanker tax revenues stored away in a bank account generating interest. Is that correct?
That'd be correct, yes.
That'd be correct. So therefore, you implement this tanker tax, the state doesn't get a dime of it because we don't get the mill rate reduction, and yet we still would suffer the loss of the severance in the royalty. Is that correct?
That'd be correct.
So actually, if you did this for the first 2 or 3 years, however much you stockpiled this money away, the state would actually be losing money.
You would see a loss, that's correct.
You would see a loss, okay.
But again, I mean, I would not be... being fiscally prudent with city dollars to say, you know, particularly if we know that there's a threat of litigation that we could potentially lose.
Any other questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Next, we're here from Bill Walker. Mr. Walker, welcome to the committee.
Well, a step further on the process of the taxation of vessels. Mr. Dingell was absolutely correct in stating that the value of the pipeline has dropped at a substantially greater rate than the throughput. If the value was tied to throughput, we wouldn't be taking up your valuable time today. Valdez would be very happy with a valuation of TAPS that was tied to throughput. I've been personally involved since 85 in the valuation of TAPS from the municipal side, and it has been very, very frustrating for not only myself, but also for the city councils and local governments, Fairbanks North Star Borough, and also the North Slope Borough in that process. It was an arrangement that was, as Representative Harris explained, was created without our involvement, and we are now suffering the consequences of that. There was a comment made by Mr. Dickinson that I wanted to, and I know he didn't misstate it and didn't intend it this way, but it could have sounded this way. He said that if Valdez lowered its mill rate below 20 mills, the state would begin to receive tax revenues from Valdez. That is correct. But let me state that in the 70s, when the value of TAPS was in the $9 billion range, Valdez's mill rate was around 5 to 6. So the state received 15 to 16 mills of value out of Valdez each year. Valdez increased the mill rate as the value of TAPS came down, and also as a different infrastructure was added. So there's been a tremendous amount of revenues out of the tax base of Valdez that have gone to the state. And Valdez has had a philosophy of a mill rate of what is needed in that year. In other words, don't bank it necessarily. It shouldn't take from the state what is not needed on the 20 mills for that particular year. That's why you hear discussions about that with the vessel tax, that there would be the intent is to lower the mill rate for the city. One thing I should explain about a vessel tax: under the Commerce Clause, you can't. You have to be sure there are safeguards that you don't tax in excess of 100% of the value. What you do is you have a proration methodology, so that any other location where they pay a tax, it's a deduct. The same way you do with if the aircraft or any mobile piece of personal property. So you make sure that someone isn't paying 120% of fair market value or 200%. So that is built into the ordinance for there to be a proration. We have had a series of meetings with the shippers, going through the ordinance with them, explaining the procedures for the appeal, and we'll continue to work with them in the coming months to determine the number, where else they are subject to tax, looking at the number of times their vessels come into Valdez. Valdez has, last year, 411 tankers came in, taking out approximately $10 billion of cargo. The range of the average trip is 20 trips per year. So there's a lot of, it's a dedicated fleet. Some of them are named after landmarks within the community. They are, because of the Jones Act, they are very tied to that facility. So you see a lot of frequency. That's unusual. In the Sullenvale facility in Scotland, if they see the same tanker twice in a year, it's very unusual. We'll see them in excess of 20 trips a year. So it's a unique situation in Valdez. It's certainly troubling or to hear reference to Valdez not supporting the oil industry. I think Valdez has stood by the oil industry from day one, probably the single largest contributor per capita to RDC, and before that to Omar, the organization that preceded RDC. In 1989, Valdez stood by the oil industry, the closest community to the oil spill, but did not file any litigation whatsoever. In fact, the mayor of Valdez made a commercial in support of Exxon at that time. It took a lot of criticism. So Valdez has stood by and continues to stand by the oil industry. They are a wonderful contributor to our community and to our state. And anything to the contrary is not in the spirit of what the history of Valdez is and is currently. There's reference to the Millennium Class tankers with regard to taxation. Valdez is thrilled to see the double-hull tankers, are thrilled that ARCO has stepped forward and not only met but exceeded the requirements of Open 90. Valdez's excitement of that is not due to the revenues that would be created, but is the additional safety that would come along with that. You should be aware that many cities in Alaska have personal property tax on vessels. This is not opening a door. This is nothing new. Many have them on the vessels that are on the smaller vessels, or those that are there most frequently. So it's not a new concept. Other cities across the country have personal property tax on vessels. The leading case in Alaska on personal property tax on vessels is probably the North Slope Borough case, where 24 tugs and barges were frozen in the North Slope. They were assessed personal property tax. They went to court. The last Supreme Court said they have every right to do that. They were there. They were availed of the services available in the North Slope Borough, just as the crews that come in on the vessels into Valdez avail the services of the hospital, the airport for crew changes, occasionally the police department. So there are services that are available to the crews of the vessel, so there's certainly sufficient contact with Valdez for such an assessment. I guess in closing, I guess I'd like to reiterate the somewhat of a disappointment in the legislation that we've seen that's been circulating. One version which lists out the exemptions from state taxation in Alaska consisting of municipalities, nonprofit organizations, churches, cemeteries, parishes, and tankers. We don't think that it's appropriate for the state government, the state at a state level, to exempt personal property that is earning a substantial amount of income solely within local communities. And I guess we would if a bill is introduced, we would like to have the opportunity to speak to that at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Schwark. Any questions? Representative Hudson.
Thank you. Do any other, like Seattle or Los Angeles or any other place where these tankers ordinarily go, do they have any kind of a tanker property tax, you know?
Through the chair, Representative Hudson, most of the locations I spoke with, some have Portland has a vessel tax of sorts. Harris County, Texas, has one as well, but they're on the tugs, barges, and those types. The larger vessels, again, the frequency of visits seems to be the challenge for them. But there are locations that do have vessel tax, but not particularly on the tankers. The tankers will come into Valdez 441 times, but they're spread out into many other ports, and they don't always go to the same port on the dedicated, but they always come back to the same one. So that's what makes it somewhat unique in Valdez.
I can understand that.
Mr. Mark, before I go to Representative Cowdery, let me ask you a question to follow up on a couple of things you said. You said you didn't feel it was appropriate for the state to exempt personal property, which should be in play as far as taxes are concerned. What about when the situation that could arise and may arise, as Mr. Dingell testified earlier, you implement the tanker tax, you're generating $5.5 million in new revenues, you keep your mill rates at 20 mills, therefore the state not only loses because we don't get anything from the mill rate drop, but we're losing the wellhead, we're losing severance and royalty. So the state, therefore, is losing while the city of Valdez is gaining. Do you think the state at that point in time should have the ability to step in, since it is a state resource?
Well, the policy of state taxation, I mean, the state has assumed that role on 4356 property, and that certainly is, we understand that, and we understand that's appropriate. This is beyond 4356 property. This is Title 29 property. So we see that as a different scenario. Now, what Mr. Dingell explained is that the intent, as we have met with the shippers, and they have been very cooperative in meeting with us, explained that the intent is to tax at a mill rate only enough that is necessary to operate the government. Valdez basically has no debt. All the bonded debts have been paid off years ago. There might be a little left on schools. There have been discussions by the Valdez City Council about the possibility of the money that is set aside, of that being returned to the taxpayers, because really it's the taxpayers' money. And so it, in the event that you just described, that the excess money collected during that period of time trying to sort out, is there going to be litigation, is there not, then that would be returned to the taxpayers, of which, of course, the state of Alaska would be one of them as well. Now, I can't speak on behalf of the city council because they haven't taken that action. I've heard discussion about that because, again, the clear intention is not to grab more cash. The clear intention is to, as a stable tax base that does not continue to drop, by 6%, 8%, and 10% per year.
And I understand that, and I think my concern, especially with the new tankers coming online, is this. Obviously, like a legislature, you can't bind future city councils from doing what they want. And in my community, in our community, in Anchorage, a couple of years ago, you remember the mayor took quite some heat for a simple accounting maneuver. He lowered the mill rate but raised your valuation. So in a sense, the city of Valdez could leave the mill rate at 20 and just devalue people's property because you have another stream of tax revenue. So therefore, you could basically do what they did in Anchorage, inversely.
Chairman Helko, that's a good point. I guess I would rely upon the history of Valdez since 1972. They have never taxed in excess of the needs they needed, and they started off at 5, and they only got to 20 some years back when the value went down. So I guess that many years of history, I guess I would hope would bring some confidence that the history would repeat itself on that.
And let me I'll just share with you my concern and why I brought that point up, because there is a newspaper article that members have dated March 1st from the Valdez Vanguard, and it talks about some city council members may argue the money should be funneled into a Valdez permanent fund, which could be used to fund city government in the future. So therefore, you're stockpiling tax revenues to pay for future governments. I mean, that to me seems more than just taxing to meet your needs. That's just a comment. I mean, that's why my question. Representative Harris.
Just a comment on your point about raising the assessments or raising the assessments and lowering the millage rate. By state law, that's illegal. I don't know what the mayor did in Anchorage exactly, but the mayor's or the city is not supposed to have any influence over the assessment valuation by law. It's supposed to be done by an independent assessor who is supposed to assess at 100% of fair market value. Supposed to be. We all know that sometimes varies from community to community, but that shouldn't technically be the case. It could happen, I guess, but that shouldn't be the case.
But you understand my concern.
I do.
That the mill rate could be left the same in the state. Representative Cowder.
Yeah, it wasn't my intention to say that the city of Valdez was against the oil company. I was just trying to point out that by raising this revenue to the oil companies, it's the big impact is going to be on the state, on the return to the state for dollars. That was my point. And then that in turn, the vicious circle of impacts is revenue sharing, it impacts is just about everything we do. No, I don't want to belabor that.
Any other questions for Mr. Walker? Thank you very much for testimony. Next, we're going to call Jerry Gallagher to the table. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you. And good afternoon. Thank you for spending what I hope is still a beautiful day discussing this issue.
We never know.
There's no windows in this room. I have no idea. My name is Jerry Gallagher. I'm manager of government relations at ARCO Alaska, and I want to thank you for letting us come and speak to you about the tanker tax that was enacted by the city of Valdez in November of 1999. ARCO has two very real concerns with the tanker tax. First of all, this new tax, is contrary to longstanding state policy that the taxation of the oil and gas business is set and administered by the state for the benefit of all Alaskans, allowing any single community to have the ability to unilaterally impose additional taxes on our industry is a serious policy issue with serious implications. Secondly, I want to talk about the Millennium Tankers. I think you've all probably got one of the color glossy advertisements here. ARCO is penalized by the Valdez tanker tax because we have done the right thing. We have built the most advanced, environmentally safe tankers in the world. Because these Millennium-class tankers are so advanced, they are significantly more expensive. And we will pay a significantly higher tanker tax than the older, less advanced ships. And this is wrong. Historically, state policy has been that all facets of oil and gas taxation are determined at the state level and are set to derive maximum benefit for all Alaskans. The statutes that you all know better than I identify both the opportunities and the limitations on local governments. For example, AS 4355 017 does not allow local governments to impose tax on oil and gas leases or productions or production. Other state laws define in detail how those communities that are lucky enough to have oil and gas facilities within their borders may tax them. Examples are the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, oil facilities on the North Slope, and there's many others. The one example we've talked about today is the valuation of TAPS. The value is established by the state. TAPS owners pay 20 mils on that value. The local government collects at the local mill rate, and the state collects the difference between the local rate and 20 mils. I want to make it clear that the Valdez tanker tax targets oil shippers in Prince William Sound. Exempted from the tanker tax are vessels less than 95 feet in length, fishing vessels, or vessels that moor at the municipal dock. It is directed at the oil and gas industry, and it scores a direct hit. This tax adds to the cost of the production and transportation of ANS crude to the West Coast. And it sends a signal to those companies that are working in Alaska and interested in Alaska, including those that wish to commercialize gas, that the tax system may lack the stability that we all strive for to develop our resources. Like other shippers, ARCO has worked to make the transportation of oil in Prince William Sound the safest in the world. We've done the right thing by building three new 125,000 deadweight ton tankers designed specifically for the Alaska trade from Valdez to Puget Sound. These new tankers meet or exceed every requirement of the Oil Pollution Act of 1990. As you know, they are equipped with redundant systems, including double hulls, double rudders, double engines, and redundant navigational systems. The first of these ships will dock in Valdez in September of this year. The ARCO Endeavor will carry on the tradition of the ARCO Juno, the very first ship to berth at Valdez in 1977. Constructed at a cost of more than $150 million, the ARCO Endeavor will pay more in taxes than any other ship. This is contrary to achieving our mutual goal of environmental protection and encouraging companies to construct these state-of-the-art tankers. In summary, we believe that the Valdez tanker tax is the wrong approach to resolving the long-term municipal fiscal issues of the city of Valdez. We have encouraged Valdez to consider fiscal restraint, imposition of a broad-based tax, or judicious use of the city's large permanent fund. And we would ask members of the legislature to seriously consider the issue of local taxation of oil and gas property and the important policy implications that it brings forward. Thank you for letting me visit with you here today.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Kemplin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd like to get your perspective here on the residual value for the pipeline. Seems to me that has come up again and again about, you know, the continued devaluation of the pipeline, and there's no floor for that devaluation, and the perception by the community of Valdez that, you know, they were not at the table when that agreement was originally established. So could you speak to that issue? And
I'm going to defer most of that to the Department of Revenue, but I'd like to say that the key to the value of the pipeline is producing oil. Our job is to keep as much oil flowing through the pipeline. That's what was going to keep the value of the pipeline from declining more than it has. And that's what our job is to find as much oil and to produce as much as we can. We see that is our role. I'd like to, you know, the Department of Revenue, I think, is appropriate to discuss, you know, how they value the pipeline and those sorts of trends.
Mm-hmm. Representative Cowdery.
Am I right in thinking that the decline of in the volume of oil that goes through the pipeline has a direct impact on the tariffs that the pipelines. For instance, if we produced another 500,000 barrels a day, the tariff would go down. Is that right?
My instinct tells me to answer that yes, but I'm not exactly the tariff methodology is a bit complex, so I'm reluctant to get into that discussion.
Yeah. Okay, that was my understanding. Anyway, thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, a compliment. I'm really extremely pleased to see ARCO moving into this new double hulled. I was there when the Exxon Valdez, right there after she hit the rock. I was brand new freshman, I think, at that point in time. So I got indoctrinated in a hurry and helped, carry an awful lot of the legislation, tried to make sure that it was safer. The Open Niner required new vessels to meet these double hull standards and things like that. So it's not really Valdez that's requiring it, or trying to penalize you. That's just something that was required by Open 90. The taxation would affect you because of the higher cost and the higher value. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. I don't know the individual valuations of tankers, although Dave said that some of the notices have gone out. I don't think we received them at ARCO as of yesterday afternoon when I checked, but some internal calculations that we've made, and I think tanker assessments are confidential to each company, but we made some guesses that tankers may indeed be valued in the $20 to $30 million range each. The newspaper article that was referenced earlier, March 1st, I hate to quote somebody when he's sitting right here, but I'll just read from the newspaper article. City Manager Dave Dangle said the new tankers could be valued at $172 million each. It's a property tax. If you're taxed at 10 mils or 20 mils of 20 million bucks, it's X number of dollars. And if you're taxed at 10 or 20 mils of $170 million, it's a whole lot more. And that just seems counterproductive to everything we've tried to do here.
You're saying that because moving into the safer vessels should be rewarded as opposed to penalized.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
You didn't say it.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Gallagher? Seeing none, thank you for your question.
Next, we'll go online to Anchorage and Ms. Karen Cower. Karen, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with any testimony.
Well, thank you. My name is Karen Cowart, and I'm the General Manager for the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. The Alaska Support Industry Alliance represents over 350 businesses that provide products and services to the oil and gas industry. We're the oil field service companies, transportation enterprises, wholesale and retail businesses, professional firms, and private citizens. Collectively, we employ over 29,000 people in Alaska, 26,000 of which are permanent Alaska residents. As a statewide nonprofit trade association, the Alliance strongly advocates legislation and policy that encourages responsible oil and gas exploration, development, and production. Your committee today is discussing amending state laws to include oil and gas vessels to the list of oil and gas properties that are exempt from personal property taxes by state or municipalities. The Alliance strongly opposes any measure that would add an additional tax burden to the oil and gas industry and offers the following three reasons. Number one, it makes Alaska less competitive as a location for oil and gas industry activity. The truth is that Alaska holds less than 1% of the world's oil reserve. We compete with places where it costs $5 to produce a barrel of oil and ship it to market. In Alaska, costs are significantly higher, $9 to $10 a barrel. To stay competitive, entice investments, and survive downswings in oil prices, we must be more efficient, not more expensive. Additional vessel taxes obviously increase the cost of producing oil and gas and moving these commodities to market. it unfairly penalizes industry's commitment to replace older vessels with new double-hull tankers. A company may not be as eager to invest quickly significant resources to better their tanker fleet, knowing that they will have to assume not only the cost of the new vessel, but additional taxes. It also deters future investors. In light of the pending BPMCO acquisition of ARCO, it is even more imperative today for Alaska to attract new major producers and operators to the state. The proposed ordinance is a potential impediment in the state's efforts to attract new investors in the exploration, development, and production of North Slope properties, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System, and Alaska's vast natural gas development potential. Adding new taxes sends an extremely onerous message to potential investors. It says unstable and uncertain. We just can't afford that. We ask the legislature to consider legislation that includes vessels as exempt properties and retain the existing oil and gas tax policy at the state level. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Karen. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you again for your testimony, Karen. Next, we have one more person online, Mr. Eric Powell. Eric, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here. I did not anticipate testifying. I was listening openly.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Powell. Is there anybody else online that we have not identified that would like to give public testimony on this matter? Seeing none, is there anybody else in the committee room that wishes to give public testimony on this matter? Mr. Dingell, could we have you come back to the table?
Thank you.
Can you give me a timeline, give the committee a timeline as far as notices go out, when property taxes are due, and kind of the yearly cycle that you'll
sure.
have?
Sure. Property tax notices go out on March 1st. There's a, by state law, we have to provide at least a 30-day period for property owners to file an appeal. And then on May 15th, the Board of Equalization will meet to hear any appeals that aren't dealt with between the taxpayer and the property owner and the assessor. Then on or about the 15th of June, the city is required to establish its mill rate. Council does that, and then on July 1, we send out the tax bills. The first half of the taxes are due July 1st, so there's a 30 days to pay. So you must pay your first half by August 1st, and I believe the second half is due. It's either in late September, early October, and that happens every year.
So, do you anticipate the valuations? The comment was made that the valuations have already gone out. So you're looking, at least by this fiscal year, June 15th, that you will have your mill rate set, taking into consideration the revenues generated from
yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Kemp.
Yes. Just trying to get a better handle here on this issue of residual value for the pipeline. Just what has to happen in order for that residual value to be established?
Representative Campbell, I believe what has to happen is there needs to be a change in the TAP settlement methodology, and the state needs to be involved in that. The industry needs to be involved in it, and certainly the municipalities should be involved in that. I mean, we have had, as Representative Harrison indicated, about 5 years ago, we started having discussions in earnest with the industry, the City of Valdez, Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the North Slope Borough meeting together with the industry, trying to work out these issues. And
And then we would include the Department of Revenue in those discussions as well, since they're the ones that actually established the value. And so, you know, we've been working on that for the last 5 years, and we try to get a long-term solution. And for various reasons, either we don't want to go long-term sometimes, or the industry doesn't want to go long-term, we end up with a shorter one. The most recent one was a 2-year agreement that we all signed off on, that the values would decline 4% in 1999 and 6% in 2000.
Dan, are you still online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Dan Dickinson in Anchorage.
Okay, Dan, let me ask you a question. Mr. Dingell just went through the timeline as far as tax notification and Board of Equalization, mill rates, and then eventual taxes due. He says that July 1st, notices will be sent out of how much is owed. Now, July 1st is also the start of the state's fiscal year. So I'm going to play out a scenario for you, and I'm hoping you can give me an answer. So July 1st, they send out notifications that to each respective company, and tanker tax values are X. Now, that is money, obviously, that has to be worked into equation that the state's going to lose. But we've already begun our fiscal year July 1st. So how is that going to work? I mean, 2 or 3 months into the fiscal year, suddenly we're short money. How is that going to – how are we going to do that?
I believe what would happen in that circumstance, Mr. Chairman, is that if the ship owners were paying this tax, and they pay, I believe, in August and September, that would show up in the transportation costs, and it would lower the wellhead value probably for September or October. Royalties and severance taxes. There are slightly different formulas for severance tax. Some costs get annualized, so it could affect it. But as soon as those payments were made, I believe the companies would probably then begin estimating their effect and would be deducting those immediately.
Okay, but from a planning standpoint, from a state budget standpoint, our 2001 budget is already underway July 1st, so we're into our fiscal year before we realize how much money we're going to be short.
That's correct. There are a number of estimates that are part of that budget, price being, of course, the major one.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Kemplin and then Hudson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, this issue of making a change to the TAP settlement methodology. Is the Department of Revenue doing an examination of what type of changes would be necessary to establish this residual value for the pipeline?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kemplin, before I get to that, let me just make a slightly different observation than Mr. Dingell made. The TSM, or TAP settlement methodology, establishes the tariff that the shippers charge to the folks who are have the oil. And in fact, that's usually it's the same parties who own TAPs and who ship oil over, for the most part, with some exceptions. That cannot be changed legally until the negotiations start until 2006, and that couldn't actually change until 2008. The 2008. That sets the income that TAPs receive. That in turn then flows into the Department of Revenue's methodology that it uses to value the pipeline. The statute requires us to take into account when we value the pipeline, I don't have the words right in front of me, but fundamentally we have to look at the reserves that will be transported and delivered into that pipeline facility. And so as everybody has observed, over the last 20 years, the value of the pipeline has fallen as the reserves are falling. One point that I think is important to make is that the pipeline has been falling in value since 1979. In other words, for the first decade from 1979 to 1988, even while throughput increased, that the pipeline was falling in value because of what was happening with reserves. Now, Representative Cummins, to get to your specific question, we are looking at ways of, I mean, we are looking at the different ways that the taps can be valued under the statute. We are already encountering and using the issue of residual value or minimum value in other categories of oil and gas production property and exploration property, but this hasn't been dealt with on the tax issue yet. Quite frankly, as you're aware, I've only been in this position for a while, and because there was an agreed upon valuation this year, we literally just didn't spend any time looking at tax. Clearly, it will be a major focus as we go into next year's tax cycle when the agreement will no longer be in place.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you. Dan, kind of a side question, but I'm interested in the current nickel a barrel that we assess the industry. About how much per year does that bring in?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hudson, there is a charge, a 5-cent charge, which is made up of a 3-cent charge and a 2-cent charge for a pipeline, for a spill fund. Currently, we are only collecting one portion of that. In other words, there's a fund. As long as the value in that fund stays above $50 million, we only collect the 2 cents a barrel. Are we talking about the same?
Yes, that's the same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's the 50 million.
So that would be roughly, it's a million, million barrels a day times 2 cents would be $20,000 a day times 365, so roughly $7 million a year.
Thank you.
If I did that calculation correctly.
Dan, this is Chairman. Let me ask you, as we are in department closeouts for the operating budget for 2001, has the Department of Revenue factored in a potential loss of revenue in their revenue projections for 2001?
No, we have not factored in the effect of this ordinance, okay. Either the positive or the negative side effect.
Great, thank you. Any other questions for Dan or Mr. Dingell? Seeing them. Thank you very much again,
Dave. Mr. Chairman, can I ask Mr. Dickinson a quick question?
Representative Harris.
Mr. Dickinson, this is Representative Harris. Do you believe it was inadvertent, or do you believe it was it just wasn't a factor to leave the tankers out of 4356 properties?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harris, I really don't know going back. The 4356 is dates from the 70s. I have no notion of whether it's intentional or not. My guess would be that we were looking at the properties. I mean, there's always been what I'll call some conflict around the margins of what was a pipeline and what wasn't, and whether tankers are in and how far out you go. Excuse me, not tankers, but tugs. How far out from the physical premises you draw that boundary. So I don't think that was something that was particularly thought about or addressed in the statute.
Do you think it might be a little bit strange, though, that a system which leaves out the shipping part of the system for taxation purposes wasn't done intentionally? I mean, it would seem to me like either it was a real screw-up on somebody's part when they were putting together this this TAPS methodology system to leave out the last part of their transportation system entirely. Either they didn't figure they would ever have to worry about it being assessed or taxed, or it was something that was done intentionally.
Well, Representative Harris, Mr. Chairman, on the TSM portion, the tankers are definitely left out intentionally. The TSM is focused on the pipeline, common carrier regulated by FERC. That's one whole set of conventions and laws that apply. The tankers are not regulated in the same fashion. They're not economically regulated. So the tankers being excluded from TSM was certainly intentional. I was focusing on 4356 and the property tax law, so I may have misunderstood your question.
Thank you.
And my answer was with respect to that law.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you again. Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to give public testimony on this issue? Seeing none, we are completed our oversight of this issue, and the committee will take it under advisement and discuss it at a later time, and we are going to adjourn at 2:56 p.m.